Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill, and after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Welcome back, beautiful friends. Can you believe that it is already February? Where did the first month of the year go? I have a beautiful interview to share with you today, but before I go into more details, I wanted to give you a little update on what's happening inside Supernova, my membership for women over the age of 35 who are fully ready to step into their next era and make their next years their best years. So I shared a little bit about this on Instagram, but we just came off of an incredible week in January of kicking off the year within Supernova. We had back-to-back sessions for 1 week on different topics in everything from vision casting to tapping into your feminine power to time and energy management and learning to say no and make space for the things that matter to you, to sales and practical and also kind of spiritual sales strategies to help us unlock our potential. Because what I have seen for so many women is that we are excellent at our craft. We know how to deliver, but the missing piece is learning how to sell in a way that feels authentic to us. So we had a session on that. And we also had a session on personal branding and why personal branding is not just about colors and photos, but it's about your legacy and creating an identity for yourself, a brand for yourself out in the world that outlasts any job you have or any business you run. And so this is the kind of conversations we're having inside Supernova. And one of the women actually sent me a note, and she said that what she loves about Supernova is that it is holistic. It is, you know, as she put it, new spirituality, right? It's also about our health. It's also about entrepreneurship. It's also about rising to our full potential. So a deep emphasis on personal growth. And it's about community. It's about doing it together and not being alone on this journey. And it's interesting because I didn't time it this way, but the interview that I'm about to share with you, you will see from our guest's story that having people who believe in you, having that support is critical in nudging you forward on the path you're meant to be on, because we are creatures of belonging. We want to belong. We need to belong. It is the way that we are inherently. And so if there is something that we desire for ourselves, but we don't have the support system of people who are saying, yes, go do that. That's meant for you. I believe in you. Take the steps. It becomes very challenging for us to go down that path, the path that's truly meant for us. And that's why I feel so strongly about what we're doing inside Supernova, because we want to change the narrative around what it means to be a woman over the age of 40, right? We want to change that narrative, and we want to start owning that story and start crafting the story so that, you know, by the time our daughters are our age, they really see this period of time as the best time of their lives, that they now have the wisdom and the strength and the understanding of who they are to create the life that they want. And so anyway, Supernova is open for enrollment. If you go to the show notes, you will see the link to learn more. There is an application process. It is just a couple of minutes so that we can get to know you better. You can also just go to allyouare.ca/supernova. Now, let's get to today's guests. I have been a fan of Julianne for some time. I subscribe to her newsletters and love following her on social media as well. So I'll be sure to include links so that you can connect with Julianne and learn more about her also in the show notes. But Julianne Costigan is my guest today, and she is a fashion stylist who is also the CEO of a style consulting firm with her name, Julianne Costigan. And Julianne has done some incredible work in not just, you know, being a extremely talented stylist, but creating, I love the way she's created. She's created a business that is unique to her. And I think that's something we can all learn from because, you know, a stylist is a stylist is a stylist, right? Not when we use our creativity to craft what we put out into the world in our own unique way. And Julianne has absolutely done that. She has worked with many well-known brands, many well-known celebrities to style them. But what I love is Julianne's unwavering passion for what she does and her unwavering commitment to keep pouring her gifts into other women and keep considering how she can do that in more powerful and unique ways. So I'm not going to say too much more because you're going to learn so much about Julianne in this conversation. And I know that it will leave you feeling inspired and also maybe kind of heading to your closet and looking around. I feel like we need to do a part two where she actually gives us tips on styling, because she is definitely one of the best for sure. So let's dive in, tune in to this beautiful conversation with Julianne Costigan. Welcome, Julianne, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, it's been a labor of love trying to get a date in the calendar, but I'm so happy that we're finally having this conversation. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, I have to say, first of all, that I'm a fan. I'm a fan of your work. I'm a fan of what you do. I've not been a stylist, but I've worked in the fashion industry, and I've always had a love for fashion and style and how it makes you feel and how it can transform your self-image and your how it can increase your confidence and how it can make you walk into a room differently. And so I am just, you know, a huge fan of you in particular and your eye and styling, but just the power of what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I love what I do and what we do. It's both so passionate. I think you have to be passionate if you're in this career path. And we truly are. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course, I want to hear, I was just sharing before we hit record that it's so fun to get a front seat to these conversations and to be able to ask, you know, what I really want to know, which is how did you get to doing what you're doing today? Like, tell us about your journey to the work that you're doing now and to your business.
I, like any passionate person, I think have loved clothing and style and the power of it all since I was a little girl. My grandmother was Miss Ireland, and so she was always a very stylish person. She was dressed by all the designers while she was Miss Ireland, and she had always so many incredible stories to tell me. My mom always loved style and fashion and played a role in introducing me to it at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I connected with my family on. And so it was something we always sort of like made a priority and did together. And so when I, you know, got my first job, it was volunteering at a local boutique that my mom shopped at. And that's where I sort of learned about designers. It led to me being a junior buyer for the store in high school, which then led me to do a program at the Toronto Metropolitan University for fashion communication. I did a couple of programs abroad in London and in Paris during those summers. And along the way, I met a stylist, and it was eye-opening because I think at the time I was in school, what I understood was that there were buyers, you could own a store, or you could be an editor at a magazine. But I didn't really understand what a stylist did. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't as publicized as it is now. So I met a stylist, fell in love with the work that she did, and fell in love with her as a person. And she really mentored me and coached me. And I ended up being able to graduate university with an agent who allowed me to really just dive into styling at the beginning of really when I could out of university. And so in Toronto, the typical route for a stylist is to work on editorial projects, advertising projects for bigger brands. And so I did all of that. But what I found along the way is that it really wasn't as fulfilling to me as I wanted it to be and that I knew could be possible. Mm-hmm. And I always had a side clientele of women who were like the women I worked with at the boutique when I was 13 to sort of 17, who understood the power of a great outfit and the importance of feeling good on big days and every day. And similar to my mom and my grandmother, these women sort of invested time and effort and money into making sure that they felt great every day. And so I had this side clientele. And in 2019, I decided to leave my agency and dive into this world of working with real women. And I've never looked back. I love podcasts like yours, where you talk to real people who have real businesses, you learn about what they do and why they do it. And often it all comes down to having a mission and feeling like you have purpose in what you're doing. And I think for me, my purpose as a stylist has always been connecting with women and empowering them through the tool I use, which is clothing. And it was one of those things that, you know, when I left my agent, I feel like everyone in my industry was like, what? Like, what you're leaving for feels like a failure, you know? Like, working with real women is not the goal. The goal should be working with celebrities and working on these big ad campaigns that seem like really exciting. But to me, it was just never, it didn't have that like excitement that everyone else felt about it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed doing it while I did it, but just didn't fulfill me in the way that I wanted to be fulfilled. And so with the encouragement and support of my family and my husband, who sort of like recognized that I think my superpower is connecting with real women, mm-hmm. And earning their trust and really making them feel incredible in their clothes, they encouraged me to dive in. And honestly, I've never looked back. And all the things I never thought were possible for me, like having an office, building a team, being a thought leader, these things that I like really tried hard to do while I was in this other advertising and editorial world, came to me so much easier when I shifted into this other space of working with real women. So here we are now. We're a full on, styling firm, personal branding firm. We say that we work with women to build their personal brands from the outside in, starting with their clothes, and through the clothes, we sort of help them uncover mm-hmm. who they are. Mm-hmm. And we've got a team of 8 now. We have an office downtown. We just expanded our office. We have so many great clients, and I'm really proud of the work that we do.
Wow, Julianne, that's such an incredible story, honestly. And while you were sharing it, You partly answered the question that I was going to ask, but I do want to dive into it a little bit because I think for a lot of women listening, the part where we tend to get stuck when I listen to your journey is that place where you're at the agency, you've kind of made it from, you know, with all respects as a stylist, that was the goal to work with an agency and work with celebrities. And you had the courage to choose a more authentic path, but it wasn't the path that other people thought was sort of like the right next step or the next level. But for you, you knew. And what I want to tease apart a little bit is what support allowed you to make that step, right? Because I think that's where a lot of people get stuck and they stay longer than they should, even though something else is calling them forward. They worry about what it means to carve a new path, their own path, because this one is known and that one is unknown. So tell me, like, when you bring yourself back to that time when you made that decision, what was it that allowed you to actually make it and not just kind of stay stuck where you were, feeling like, oh, I'm being called here, but no, that's like taking a step down, you know?
For me, it was the encouragement and support of one of my friends from university who was sort of, we were both on entrepreneurial journeys, and she was at a point where she had left her business and she was kind of just figuring out her next step. And we were sitting at Taroni Summer Hill at the bar. I remember it like so clearly. We talk about it still to this day. And she just sort of was like, I'll help you. And, you know, I couldn't afford to hire and pay much help, but she was able to sort of like meet me in the middle. And, you know, she was so forceful in her belief in me.
Yeah.
And same with my husband, honestly, he just thought that this was such a huge opportunity that, you know, sometimes the thing that people aren't doing is the biggest opportunity, right? But it's scary to do it. And for me, I do personally rely on feeling like I have the support of others. So even though I don't need to fall on them, I do crave sort of a sense of approval from people, which is something I'm personally working on. Obviously, everyone has to work on that kind of thing. But I think it's just knowing that you have a support group around you that believe in you, even if it's only one or two people, just knowing that you've got that sort of group around you. And for me, it was also about stopping talking to anyone who didn't believe in it. So really putting my horse blinders on, staying focused on what I knew I could do, and not talking to those who I knew would change my mind. And I think there are just times in your life where you have to really protect yourself. And even if you know there's a possibility you could fail, don't ask the question that will lead to the answer that gives you that answer. You know, you just can't do it. And so I had this great group around me who I knew believed in me and would help me in whatever way I needed. And truthfully, I knew that like hard work, it doesn't scare me. Like if this was about hard work, no problem. Like I can do that. And it was just that moment where I was like, okay, I think something has to change and this feels right, even though it's so scary. And usually those moments are great signs that you're onto something, you know. Absolutely. And truthfully, I reflect now and I'm so thankful I made that decision. Because I think now you look at the industry and there's more and more stylists who are helping real women. It's become a lot more sexy to help these women. Whereas when I dove into it, I think it was pretty kind of uncool for some reason. But COVID, I think, really forced women at home who had trouble shopping to sort of raise their hand and ask questions and create the need for more real women to get the support they need and the help they need. And styling isn't just for celebrities, it's for real women too.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, the two takeaways that I hope that everyone listening hears is the first is having those people that believe in you when you're taking that bold step. And sometimes that person may not be your husband or your best friend. And so even finding those people, right? Like connecting to, there are rooms where you can walk into and everyone in that room is like, yes, go do it, right? But it's finding those rooms. So I think that's one thing is like, if you don't have that person, don't let that stop you. Find the people who are making those bold moves and surround yourself with them. And I guarantee, you know, you kind of raise your standard. And if you have people like that next to you who are also making those types of decisions, it will be so much easier than feeling like you're doing it alone, right? And the second thing that you shared that I thought was really great was like to not be afraid of hard work, right? And if something is calling to you, to just dive right in.
Yeah, and I think when you're passionate about it, hard work isn't hard. Yes, it's right. Like I almost have to force myself to stop it. You know?
I know.
So that, I think if you are passionate about something, is never a concern for those who are passionate, because the hard work is actually one of the easiest things to do.
That's right. Oh, and the third thing you said, that this was the other thing that I wanted to mention, was putting your horse blinders on, right? Like, I think that's huge. I always say to women too, that when they have an idea, be careful who they take that idea to. Are they going to take it to somebody who's going to like pour water and fertilizer on it? Or are they going to take it to somebody who's going to like stomp it out, right? Yeah. And that is so critical. Julianne, I would love to hear, you know, obviously that it kicked off with that decision. And, you know, it's been building and growing and evolving along the way. As an entrepreneur, can you share some of the biggest lessons that you've learned the hard way?
I mean, I think a lesson I learned the hard way, and truthfully, I'm someone who believes everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a reason it all happens in the time that it does. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest sort of like failure I felt I had was this, like, carving out a path that was unknown. It kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. But, you know, I feel like we've really been building on a lot of great momentum ever since I made this decision. And the thing I let go the longest was sort of like trying to be something I knew in my gut that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved assisting on these advertising and editorial projects. Like, if I could have made a career out of assisting Zaina Esmail, who's an incredible stylist, who was my mentor and the mm-hmm. person who really like trained me as a stylist, I would have worked forever because I loved working for her so much. But ultimately, I wanted to build something of my own and go on a different path. But I felt that that was the only career path because I didn't see anyone else working with real people, and saw no one with an office that was a stylist. They didn't know anyone with a team. And I had people around me, like specifically my mom constantly talking to me that you need an office, you gotta get more help. And it was like, no, the math doesn't make sense. I don't know any other stylist who has this. There might have been like a few people in LA, but yeah, it was a different market, a different industry. Yeah. And you know, I think sort of the lesson I learned the hard way was just when I made that switch, feeling like, oh, I should have done this sooner. Mm-hmm. Like I could have done this sooner, you know, but I think everything happened for a reason.
Yeah, totally.
And so I really don't regret the timing of it because I think I was at an age too where I was able to connect with these women mm-hmm. who I wanted to hire us. Mm-hmm. And I was at an age, I was married. I had some maturity under my belt that I think was needed to connect with these women specifically mm-hmm. And to maintain them as clients. But yeah, I don't know. I think I've been really fortunate. I mean, my perspective is always that every challenge along the way really is a lesson. And mm-hmm. I have what I would say gain versus gap mentality. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read that book.
Yeah, gap versus
10X is easier than 2X.
Yeah, totally. The gap.
I love those books. I think they've spoken so much to me. And mm-hmm. and truthfully, I think the thing that keeps me moving forward every day is this idea that like, things don't happen to you, they happen for you. And there have definitely been challenges along the way and scary moments where, you know, whether it's cash flow or how are we going to get, you know, all the clothes or the space or how are we going to make this production happen for these clients or get what we promised for our client. Mm-hmm. We always find a way to do it. And, you know, there's always a way to pivot and react and see it as like an opportunity. And that is the thing that has kept me sane and kept me feeling like there's still so much opportunity to grow and evolve in this industry. And so, yeah, I don't know. I really don't see sort of like things as challenges as much as like learning opportunities, I guess. And the biggest one is definitely that it was that moment of switching
into
the industry. Yeah. But I mean, for example, I would say a challenge when we decided we wanted to do an event called Portraits with Impact, which has been a really incredible event that's allowed us to scale and grow our business, was that we promised our clients we'd have a shop full of clothing for them to use for their photo shoot.
Right.
But basically, we were asking retailers to give us their merchandise on consignment, so essentially have a shop, but not buy the merchandise.
Yeah.
And this was a huge sort of hill to climb. But it all came together because we had these incredible relationships with these brands and with these people behind the brands. And that has come from just years and years of so much work, hard work, dedication to them, and, you know, working with them in a way that has built a relationship where we trust each other. So anyway,
that's probably
a long-winded answer.
No, I appreciate that. And I think that's a huge, you know, thing that you shared just coming from a retail background, asking a retailer to basically give you clothes on consignment is not like it's not a minor ask. It's not a minor request. And it also speaks to the brand that you had built and the audience that, you know, those retailers knew they would be in front of, at your events. So that's,
Yeah. Well, I think I feel like there's always excuses. There's always reason things can't happen, but I'm definitely like a glass half full mentality. And I really believe there's always a way to do everything.
Yeah.
But it does often depend on, you know, the relationships you have with people and companies, but also being strategic. So for us, why I knew that this business would work was because I knew that we were basically targeting this incredible group of women who had so much buying power, really, right? Like they're senior in their career. They have the ability and want to invest in themselves and their clothes. And, but yet no one is targeting them. No one is making them feel special. No one is giving them opportunities. And that's all we're doing. And we're making them feel great along the way. And when you talk about, you know, what I had said, which is like surrounding yourself with a group of people who just make you feel like everything you want is possible. Mm-hmm. That's what we do for our clients.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly powerful. And so I think that has knowing what we do, why we do it, and the value that we bring to both our clients, but the brands we work with is sort of like that perfect marriage in blending two worlds that haven't typically been blended and creating an event with us in the middle that allows it both to work for everyone.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. It truly is. And, you know, as you're sharing this, it's making me think a lot about what we talk about on this podcast and even in the work that I do with women, which is around tuning into our inner voice and shutting out the noise, right? Because there's so much noise in the outside world. And it's like, if we go back to that moment in time for you, the noise was like, well, this is, you've made it. This is the work you want to do. You just want to be a famous stylist and you want to work with celebrities. And your inner voice was telling you otherwise. And it sounds like, Julianne, from the way you've described the evolution of your business, you've tuned into your inner voice a lot along the way. And I want women to know how powerful it is and how things unfold when we are able to do that and not just do it at certain moments in our life, but when we're able to live in that. And also just how much fun it is, right? To just be like, oh, I got this like idea. I got this, you know, something clicked. I got a download is what I always say. I got a download. So I would love to hear about your relationship with your intuition and how it has influenced the evolution of your business.
That's a great question. You know, I feel like since I was a young girl, people always told me I was an old soul. I don't know if that's just because I am an only child, but I have a half brother who's 13 years younger than me. So technically I'm not an only child, but mm-hmm. for the majority of my like childhood, I lived as an only child. Mm-hmm. And so I still feel very connected to that idea that I am an only child. And I think I have just from an early age always been taught to trust myself. And I think my parents trusted me. And so it allowed me to sort of like listen to myself and be in tune with it. And I've also been a very independent person from a young age. So I think when you're independent, you just learn to trust yourself and feel confident in that. So that has always been in me. But then like we talked about, you know, I think that a lot of women, unfortunately, and I think men too, don't have circles around them that are as encouraging as I do and that I've been as fortunate to have. And I've had incredible mentors along the way who have all made me always believe in myself. And I think that when you believe in yourself and you know that who you are is your point of difference, and who you are is your personal brand, and that's what is going to differentiate you from every other person on the planet. That is your superpower. And so I've always just been in tune with it and almost had more of like a gut feeling. And I think even, you know, obviously running a business, you know, there's a lot of it, you know, is calculated, but there are definitely moments where you have to trust your gut. And I have it. My gut has always led me down the right path. It's not always the easiest decision when you trust your gut. But it has always, I think, proven to lead me where I want to go. And there's a book called Green Lights that Matthew McConaughey wrote that I love the concept of it. It's always made so much sense to me, which is this idea that when the goal is like the reward at the end, and you stop enjoying the process of what you're doing, you actually never get to your goal. But when the goal is the work that you do, you snowball and you hit green light after green light, and you get to places you almost didn't even know you were going, but that totally feel right. Because you're enjoying what you're doing, you're trusting your gut, you're making decisions that feel right for you, not what everyone else thinks is right for you. And I think I've always been really in tune with that. And like I said, had people around me who allowed me to feel confident in those choices. And I think that has been the key to it. And I think, you know, when you are someone who listens to your gut and something goes well, it just allows you to listen to your gut more and more.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a something that I never take credit for it because it was a conversation I had with Meredith Shaw during the pandemic when we were hosting these, like, you know, everyone was doing it, these fireside chats, and we were bringing on different people we worked with and admired. And Meredith Shaw was someone who came on and we talked a lot about confidence, and I love her and what she believes in. And she's just an incredible woman. But she talked about confidence as a muscle.
Yes.
And when you think about it like that, you know, the more you practice confidence, the stronger the muscle gets and the easier it is to shut, in her words, but I feel like you can't say it any other way, the bitch on your shoulder that's telling you you can't do something, you can quiet her.
Yes.
And so I love, what's it called when you want to say an abbreviation. That's not it. It's
acronym?
An analogy.
Analogy. Okay.
That, you know, something like listening to your gut mm-hmm. or confidence isn't a physical thing, right? You can't see it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to understand how to achieve confidence.
Yes.
But when you think of it as a muscle, mm-hmm. and how do you get a muscle stronger? It's about practicing it. Yes. It's about, you know, speaking nicely to yourself, recognizing the wins that you have, mm-hmm. reflecting and being the gain, not the gap.
Gap, yeah.
You know, and when you can do that, I think you just encourage yourself to be kinder to yourself, and you attract people who want to see the best in you too. Mm-hmm. And so I think the more you give, the more you get. And that's really how it's a core value of ours, is like being kind to people and seeing the best in them. And that's, I think, what has, you know, allowed us to carve out this path in an industry that we're just sort of figuring out as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I love the Matthew McConaughey reference, right? Of like, if you are enjoying the work rather than focusing on the outcome, you know, I think that's a huge takeaway. As you were sharing all of that, one of the things that sort of came up for me was there a time, because I think, you know, there's listening to your gut, but sometimes listening to your gut is easy. It's like, okay, yes, hire this person. Yes, you know, create this event. But then sometimes, and I've talked about this with many guests before on the podcast, it's like this feeling of like, really, do I have to do that thing my gut is telling me to do? I don't know. It's too scary, you know? Can you think of a time like that? Like maybe like, was it perhaps when you decided to go for the office where you were like, okay, my gut's telling me to go for the office, but like, oh shit, this, what does this mean? You know, like, did you ever kind of come up against those moments where you had to go with your gut, but part of you was like, oh really? Is this where my gut is telling me to go?
Every time I think I've made a sort of like financial investment
yes.
in our business has been extremely scary. It yeah. still is. Because we're still growing. Yeah. And so we're constantly reinvesting yeah. in our business. And that's just sort of like the stage and phase we are
yeah.
in. And I have to just remember that.
Yeah.
But I didn't come from a business background. I'm fortunate to have some incredible people around me who are business owners or consultants and know how to support me and give yeah. me great advice. But no matter what, I think getting our first office space was scary. You know, it was a small space. I split it with a PR firm. I signed the lease we moved in on March 11th, 2020 and March 17th, everything
yeah.
shut down, you know? And I remember just being like, oh my God, like, what did I just do?
Yeah.
You know? But then I reflect and I'm like, you know what? I had a place to go during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, I loved having that. It was such an important part of like making COVID manageable and mm-hmm. feeling like I got up, I got ready. I went somewhere, I had purpose every day.
Yeah.
And that, so like, and then we grew out of that office mm-hmm. and we finally set up a much bigger office. And that was scary, of course. And now we just expanded, scary again. But every time it's just like, reinvesting in the future and the potential of our business, and our plans are massive. We have big plans for what we're doing, and we need the space and we need the people to be able to support us in doing it.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's scary. It absolutely is scary because you never know what's around the corner, but I kind of always just go back to hard work and trying to be strategic and having great people in our office and on our team who are all marching in the same direction towards the common goal that we have. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great team. And I mean, none of this would be possible without our team. So yeah.
Amazing. Do you have any, I mean, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, a big part of managing a business, growing a business, leading a team involves the taking care of oneself, right? And by taking care of oneself, it's like, yes, the sort of typical self-care things, but there's also just the fueling your mind and your spirit and, you know, like fueling yourself so that you can tune into your instincts and that you do have a settled nervous system. Do you have any practices or habits that you've adopted over the years, or maybe that you are kind of practicing now in your life that help support these big visions that you have for yourself and your business?
I would say, honestly, this is an area I'm working on. I've got two kids that are really young, and you know, we're busy mm-hmm. with our work. And okay. so truthfully, I probably don't spend as much time on myself, but I do know that as a only child, I need my alone time. It's a really important part of recharging for me, clearing mm-hmm. my thoughts and being able to just like sit in them. So I do have a bath like multiple times a week, and mm-hmm. I just sit there and I think, and I don't bring my phone in, and I give myself sort of that space to organize my brain almost. I love taking solo drives. I do also incredible thinking when I'm driving solo, because again, I don't have my phone in my hand, and it's always been a place for me that I've sort of ideas have come to me. Mm-hmm. And I right now prioritize that alone time over sleep sometimes. So for mm-hmm. me, you know, while some people know they need their 8 hours of sleep, I can kind of function on very little sleep. But what mm-hmm. makes me feel better the next day is giving myself the space. If, you know, my family goes to bed and it's 10 o'clock, I may stay up until 11:30 or 12, just doing what I need to on my own to feel good mm-hmm. the next day. And so right now that is sort of my self-care. But in terms of exercise, running is something I love to do when I can make the time for it.
Yeah.
And that has also been a space where I've cleared my head and given myself that sort of like creative thinking with nothing, no distractions.
Yeah.
So those are the things I would say I do right now. But I'm definitely hoping as we continue to build our team and, you know, continue to sort of like narrow what we do and be more strategic about what we do to be able to, I'd like to give myself more time and more space to.
Yeah. I get it though.
Work on myself.
Yeah. And you know, I think like the reason I asked that question is because it is unique to, you know, what you're doing in your life, like situationally, what you're doing, what your goals are, what your life looks like. You know, what your needs are, like it is individual. And so rather than being prescriptive about it, I think it's cool to hear about how women find, you know, what works for them. So I love that, you know, a bath a few times a week or sacrificing sleep. And I know there was a time in my life where I could sacrifice sleep. And now it's the time where my sleep comes first. Like that is like my self-care. It's like I need to sleep. But that's a recent thing. I feel like there were a lot yeah. of times where I was like, asleep, I'm fine. I can handle it, you know? And alone time was a big thing for me too when my daughter was younger. And I remember for me, I'm more of an early bird. So I would wake up a full hour before her. And that was like my time. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
And I love that you are finding ways to connect to what you need in the way you need it.
Yeah, I think there's like, two things to add on to that. One is that yeah. we're also really fortunate to have these incredible women who are senior in their career. And as much as we help them, they help us too,
yeah.
because they share everything they've gone through, what has made them get to where they are. And it kind of humanizes them and yeah. makes us, specifically me, feel like, oh, you know, this is just the stage of life. It's yeah. busy with kids and, you know, balance isn't real. Like, what does balance mean? And that sort of brings me to my next point, like Jet Monday Girl, I'm forgetting who it was. I think it was one of the like executive women at Canadian Tire. Mm-hmm. She just talked about this idea of balance and it being a buzzy word and that mm-hmm. everyone wants balance and how really at the end of the day, balance just means something different to everyone. Mm-hmm. And if you can define what balance is for you,
that's right.
That it can create freedom. So for me right now, balance is not that I see my friends do work, see my kids equal parts. Mm. I probably I do work and I see my kids. And if I'm lucky, I carve out time for my friend. Yeah. But that's just the reality of my life right now. And I'm okay with that.
Yes.
And by creating that sort of structure for myself, mm-hmm. I can accept it and not feel like I'm not balanced, which is this like heavy weight that often I think weighs over a lot of women's heads, is mm-hmm. trying to be everything for everyone. And if you can just sort of like define what you want to really give yourself to, mm-hmm. you can forgive yourself for being less involved, because you can sort of like set the, what's the word?
The expectation.
The boundaries, yeah. You know, and set the expectations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. Set mm-hmm. the expectations so that no one is upset
yes.
with the fact that maybe you haven't seen them in 6 months because you yeah. just haven't. Right now, life is too busy and it's not about you. It's that this is all I can fit in. And that's really, that can just give yourself a lot of freedom. And I think that in itself is a method of self-care that I've found to be really helpful for me.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like self-love and self-reverence. And it's funny because the event that sort of sparked me wanting to connect with you and bring you into the podcast was the collective event in March.
Yeah.
And yes. yeah, so I had wandered through your, you know, whole setup pop-up there. And I was yeah. like, oh yeah. And I'd already been on your email list and had actually subscribed to some of your, what are they called, Julianne?
Digital Style Guide.
Yes, exactly. I had subscribed to those. And, but I was on a panel at that event. And at that event, I spoke exactly about this. And what I said was, what has helped me is to think of it as instead of balance, it's harmony, because everyone has a different sense of what feels harmonious for them, right? And yeah. so it's like speaking to exactly what you said, like if you can define what feels like harmony to you in your life, like what are all those elements that play together, right, that make you feel like this is my full life, and it may look completely different for someone else. Yeah. And if you can tune into that harmony, then you then forget what the other expectations might be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's yeah. No, it's, I mean, yeah, I at every one of those, you know, women's events, there's so much insightful conversation, yeah. Which is what you're doing for your listeners too, right? It's yeah. just, it's so relieving to hear other women not have these perfect Instagrammable lives. You know, it just gives yeah. you sort of this sense of like, oh, okay, like we're all just doing our best.
Exactly.
You know? And that's all that you can do.
Exactly. Exactly. So Julianne, this podcast is called Be All You Are. So it is about stepping into all that you are, which you are clearly doing. And it's also called a Midlife Awakening podcast because I believe that there is something that happens to women over the age. It can start kind of somewhere around after you turn 35. And then as you get older, like it can sometimes hit later, but there's sort of something that can happen for a lot of women where they feel a misalignment. Now you have been listening to that inner voice from a young age. And like, as you said, you had people around you who were encouraging you, yes, go that way. Now, if you can imagine, if you hadn't had that, how much longer you might have stayed, right, in the work. And then you do that for another 5-10 years, and suddenly you're just like, what is this? This is like, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. I listened to what everyone said. And why don't I feel happy in my life? Like, I should feel happy. I've checked all the boxes, right? And so that's why I call it a midlife awakening, because I think you're just really waking up to who you are, what you really want. So I wanted to ask you if you were comfortable like sharing your age. And then
yeah,
if you are, like telling us about how you are feeling at this stage of life and how you are kind of approaching this stage of life of where you are.
Yeah, I'm 34. Okay. And yeah, I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, I truly feel that way. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think my awakening happened when I was 29.
Yeah.
And I left where I was and followed the thing that felt the most unlike work to me mm-hmm. and the most like kind of intuitive thing that I did, that I was good at, that I didn't even know how or why, how to describe what I did. Mm-hmm. It just was the thing. So what's exciting, I don't know when this podcast is coming out or when it will be live, but we're rebranding. Mm-hmm. And we're repositioning ourselves in the industry as a personal branding firm. Mm-hmm. That works on the outside in. So I'm really excited about that, because I think for me in this next phase is that I want to step into more of a CEO role. I want to be a thought leader. I want to share what we're doing on a bigger scale and have bigger impact. And so we're building out our team and what we do and how we do it to allow us to do that more. Mm-hmm. We'll still maintain our consulting, you know, clients that we work one-on-one, that's super personalized. But we also do a lot of B2B work. Mm-hmm. That has allowed us to scale. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And so we're going to be doing a little bit more of that. And we're really going to be diving into this idea of helping individuals build personal brands and teach companies about how to empower all of their employees to have personal brands. So I think this feels like a bit of like an awakening, I guess.
Yeah.
As I move into 2025, I think it's going to allow everyone on our team to grow. Mm-hmm. In a really exciting way as well. Mm-hmm. Because I think right now with our business being Julianne Costigan, it just, because we don't have a product.
Right.
It can, you know, it's a service. So people sort of expect me, or at least that's what I think. And there's been very few businesses that I know of other than Tracy Anderson, mm-hmm. who have kept their name and created a service where you go and you experience it, but you don't actually experience Tracy Anderson.
Yes.
So we're trying to kind of adopt some of the things that she's done. Yeah. We're renaming though.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. This is probably the first place I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but I did.
You're excited to hold it in, right?
Yeah. So it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the next phase of what we're doing. And, you know, it's going to be the brand that I know we are.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, you know, we want it to be massive, and we know that it can be.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. So I would say that's sort of like,
yeah, well, that's your next era right there. Like that,
yeah.
You know, that's what's coming up next for you. And that's huge. And that was going to be my next question, which is, what is coming up next for you? But like, okay, that's your next era. That's like the big vision. I love hearing that, Julianne. I love when women step into thinking bigger for themselves. And I think we need to hear more of those stories. And I love that you're sharing it before it's, you know, completely public, because it's like, again, this confidence in who you are and where you're going. And it's a beautiful modeling for everyone listening. So thank you so much for sharing that. I'm like thrilled that you did. And so that's like the big vision. How can people like support you, find you, reach you now? What's coming up in the more nearer term?
So if anyone wants to get to know more about what we do and how we do it or work with us, they can just go to our website. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our contact page is our CRM. So I see your email, it comes in. And that's the best way to sort of get in touch with us and learn more about what we do. As I mentioned, we do a lot of master classes now. So mm-hmm. we're training, you know, different teams on how to feel confident in what they're wearing and to develop these personal brands for themselves, mm-hmm. that not only reflect what they want others to think about them, but actually allow them to believe that what they want is they're capable of. And mm-hmm. often we don't realize that our clothes play a big part in how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's the reason, in my opinion, you know, we worked with Cam H a lot during COVID, and one of the biggest signs of, you know, mental health or this idea that you're not capable is that you stop doing daily rituals, like yeah. getting dressed and prioritizing yourself. Yes. And so we're excited to just be working with companies and teaching women and men about the power of having a personal brand, knowing your personal brand, and taking charge of it and using your clothes as a tool. But then we also bring in other experts like speaking coaches. We do portraits with impact. We bring in whatever expert we feel is going to complement what we're doing to help these people really walk away with new professional tools under their belt that they can apply to continue growing and evolving as whether they're entrepreneurs or professionals working within a company. So these master classes are exciting. We're running a lot of like intimate events for leadership teams, participating in events like, you know, these women's conferences. Those are like great things that we're doing. And then of course, Portraits with Impact is one of the sort of one of our favorite events that we do that I mentioned that really allowed us to scale our business. And it's something we do biannually for our community, as well as for businesses as well. But essentially, it's just the number of days in a row you can sign up as anyone. If you just go to our website and look up Portraits with Impact, it's a day where we help you get an incredible portrait. And beyond a portrait, you know, we put together the team of, we have the studio, nails, hair, makeup, styling with us, photography, beyond all of those elements, which are really hard to pull together on your own if you're just trying to coordinate a headshot for yourself. You sort of get welcomed into this incredible community we have of real women who all are really like-minded and are this sort of like encouraging cheerleader group of women that we've already discussed are so important to have in your life. And what we find is this community has just, you know, people come for the headshot and they stay because of the community and the experience they have and how transformative it is for them in their life. And so we're really just building out those sorts of offerings and experiences that can complement each other and continue helping women find a community and feel like for the first time they have the confidence to just be themselves. And we help them understand who they are and feel confident about outwardly just like stepping into her shoes and really like being her, you know? And so that's really what we do. And clothes are just the tool that we use to do that.
You know, I love that. Thank you, Julianne. And I was, I often share this story from my own life. So when I was, 30, 31, I was actually working as a buyer for Banana Republic in San Francisco. And I was like there, newly married, loving it. It was so incredible. And then my husband got sick and he was in the hospital for 4 months. And while he was in the hospital, I had, he wasn't in town, in the same town. He wasn't in San Francisco. He actually got sick in another town. So I had to go there and I packed a bag and went, not knowing how long I was going to be gone for, and ended up being there for 4 months. And I remember an aunt or a family member had come to visit and they, and I was like, you know, I packed all wrong. I have like these cardigans and summer dresses because it was in Arizona. And I was like, I should have like hoodies and sweatpants. Like, I'm not, I don't have the right things. And this aunt said to me, well, Kana, you can wear your summer dresses. They weren't like, fancy dresses. It was like they were cotton dresses. She was like, you can wear them. And I was just kind of like, huh, like interesting. Cause you know, you're in that setting and you feel like, well, I need to match the setting, which is sweatpants and hoodies and t-shirts. Right. And then, but then when I went to the hospital wearing a dress and a cardigan, I felt different going in. Like it was still extremely difficult and challenging, but I felt more like myself. I didn't feel like a spoken version of myself. I felt like myself. And then the way I would speak to the doctors or the way I would like take care of myself that day was different than had I gone in like sweatpants. And so I fully believe in what you're sharing. And I'm like, I'm in it. I'm in it with you. I guess.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think like, I mean, I want to come to Portraits of Impact now because I'm like, it's just sounds like an incredible experience.
Yeah, it really is. There's nothing like it. And it's just, it's so much more than a portrait. And those who go through it come back again and again. We've had people go through it multiple times. So anyway, so that's kind of what's going on with us.
Incredible. Okay. So I have, I can't believe that this has been an hour. First of all, it's gone by so quickly. I wanted to ask you the question that I ask all of the guests on the podcast, which is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
I think to be all that you are is like, it's a feeling within yourself and you don't know it until you have it. We do this exercise with our clients where sometimes we have them put on outfits and we don't let them look in the mirror and we let them just say how they feel, because often you know whether something looks good before you see it in a mirror, and it's actually the mirror who triggers us and makes us see things differently. And so I think to be all that you are is, I think, to not need validation from other people outside, and to not be calculated, you know, to feel sort of like a sense of freedom within yourself.
Yes.
And to protect who you are from those who don't allow you to be her. And I think for me, it's always been a gut feeling. Like, I know when I step into a room or a certain client who we just don't jive, and I become someone different.
Yeah. You know, interesting.
And so even with our clients, I would say, as much as our clients maybe would sort of call us and interview us on whether like they want to work with us, at the same time we're interviewing them.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't know, to be all that you are is to, yeah, just not feel calculated, to not feel like it's this sense of freedom.
Yes.
That I think most women come to a place and find it, but often it's later in life, which is unfortunate. And I feel really lucky to be there, because I get to learn from so many women who are our clients. So that's my, I don't know, my definition, I guess.
No, that's beautiful. Thank you, Julianne. Again, thank you for this conversation. I'm so glad that we finally made it happen. And I can't wait for everyone to check out what you're doing and to follow along. And all of your links will be in the show notes so they can follow up with you there, and to go to A Portraits of Impact. When is the next one coming?
May 27th to 29th.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got a bit of time, which is great.
Yeah.
And thank you so much again for joining me.
No, thank you for having me. It's been such a great conversation. And yeah, an hour flew by like crazy. So anyway, thank you. It was so great to chat.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.